Welcome back to the Banking on Digital Growth podcast. My name is James Robert Lay, founder and CEO of the Digital Growth Institute, where we are on a mission to help financial brands stop losing loans and deposits. Before we get to today's discussion, if you are on a marketing, sales, or leadership team at a bank, at a credit union, at a fintech, I want to invite you to join over 300 other growth-minded leaders who are a part of the digital growth community, where they are committed to learning, connecting, and growing together. You can become a member in less than 60 seconds when you visit www.digitalgrowth.com/membership. Let's get into today's conversation that is part of the Digital Growth Leadership Series. Joining me for today's conversation is Audrey Cannata, operations lead here at the Digital Growth Institute. And today we're going to talk through four very specific types of days that will supercharge you, your team, your organization, so that you can maximize your future growth. Welcome to the show, Audrey.
Thank you, James Robert. Happy to be here today. And I love this conversation we're going to have too.
It is relevant. It is practical. It is very timely. And you've got a lot of personal experience that you can share to help others. And before we get into these specific types of days that will, in fact, supercharge personal and professional growth of individuals, teams, and organizations, what is good for you right now, either personally, professionally, or even both for a bonus?
I'll go both for a bonus. I feel like I should be saying like Wheel of Fortune. I'll take letter.
Yeah. Can I buy a vowel?
Yes. I will take both for the bonus. Our team here at DGI is growing. And it's really exciting. And for me personally, I've been able to elevate quite a few things to others. And on one hand, it's you know, I'm able to level up and have more time to be working in my growth ability. Mm-hmm. But it's also been a really, really good, tough lesson of letting go. I've had to let go of quite a few different operations that I've been overseeing and built from the ground up. And so, but I know, like we always say, you have to let go to grow. So that's what's happening here. And it's been a lot of fun these last few weeks.
Well, you know, when you talk about this idea of growth, it is exciting. It is energizing. But as we'll talk about today, we have to be mindful of how we are feeling, operating, doing, even being as a leader. And because growth of any kind, whether that be personal growth, professional growth, digital growth, growth is a journey. And it is a journey from good to great. And I think one of the best ways to think about this journey of growth, that it's like running a marathon. Now, I think it's important to share, Audrey, what's your take on running?
I loathe it.
I know you do.
I absolutely, you and I are complete opposites. I love hearing how you and your family are killing it, running it. But yeah, unless I'm chasing after one of my kids, I do not want to run. I will do anything else in the gym, hardcore, just the running. So marathons, I get the analogy here, but I don't have any experience.
Well, and that is, it's like running a marathon. And that's why I wanted to just to get your take on this, because I know that not everyone who is watching or listening to this conversation has run a marathon. Truth be told, I never thought that I would run a marathon, yet alone a couple, and then a number of half marathons. I would say my pinnacle, my peak going forward is a half Ironman. I think it's like about a 1 mile or so swim, a 13.1 mile run, and then like a 60 ish mile bike. Running, biking, no problem.
Right. Bike all day.
I need swimming lessons to get through that run and not tire within the first 50 yards.
Yeah. I was going to say swimming, probably a little underrated there. The level of difficulty.
Yeah. And it's like, I can swim. I just can't swim for efficiency. And I think like that's where, you know, when you think about the idea of growth being a marathon or an Ironman, a half Ironman, even a 5K, depending upon where you're at, just within thinking about just fitness as a whole, because it's going to be different for different people. The challenge for many of us in this age of AI now is that we can be connected. We can be plugged in 24/7. And the problems occur when we are not aware of, we fail to acknowledge the mental exhaustion that begins to creep in. Because whether you're running a 5K or half marathon, marathon, Ironman, you can feel physical exhaustion. Even you running after your kids, you can feel that physical exhaustion. And so you're going to know, I mean, I know right now you were sharing with me just your training and your workout, like you had injured your elbow. And so you had to take it easy. It's easy to get those signals of physical pain or physical exhaustion. But for the majority of people who watch and listen to this podcast, they work at a financial brand. Our mind is our most important strategic asset. And we have been teaching financial brand teams how to navigate change, exponential change in the age of AI, so that they don't burn out, so that they can create space with a very simple, easy to follow framework for time blocking either your days or your calendar with four distinct types of days. What are those days, Audrey?
So we have race days, rest days, pace days, and detox days.
Race days, rest days, pace days, and detox days. And what I want to do is let's break each one of these down to provide some context as to how each one of these different types of days or periods of time, because they could be blocked on a calendar. You might not have a full day dedicated to a race day, but you could have a half day dedicated to a race day. Let's start there. You know, and I want to start with race days because it is where the greatest progress is gained. But I often question how many people spend time racing instead of just pacing.
That's what I was going to say too. I think race days, those are the days where really you create the most value, but it's easy. And I've been guilty of this too, is spending too many days having race days. So these are days where you are really focused on your unique ability, your growth ability. Where are you creating the greatest value? I think of it as, you know, you're getting in a flow state. And so there are no distractions, no meetings. You are really in like full attention. You're in the zone and you're really just focusing on maybe the top one or two, maybe three things that you really need to get done that day to move the ball forward, making those big, you know, leaps in progress. I know both of us have really tried so far this year and 2024 to block these days on the calendar and try to get one or two a week. And I know we joke because, you know, on these days we won't have meetings with anybody. You and I will barely connect. And it's like, it was so great not talking to you yesterday.
I was about to say, I don't want to see you on a race day. And that's with all due love and respect, because like, if we don't create that space to race, I think that's where the friction and the conflict and the tension begin to creep in. I think of one specific financial brand leader who I have been coaching on their digital growth journey, and she sent an email about just the overwhelm of meetings and not feeling like she can ever get anything done. And that's where the greatest burnout begins to creep in, because it's the burnout happens in the mind. The work that we are doing, it's more mental than it is physical, but the mental will impact the physical state of being. And to your point about flow, I was just reconnecting with a friend of mine, Max Traylor, and he was saying that he has a collaboration he's working on and was inspired, had some thoughts, and 8 hours of time passed by and he made a tremendous amount of progress on this particular initiative. That's flow. And I'm just curious, how many people watching or listening have either A, entered into a period of flow to understand what that feels like, or maybe they've never experienced flow to begin. You've experienced flow. So maybe I think some more contextual perspective here, because flow is what leads to exponential growth.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, getting in that flow state, it is where the hours feel like minutes. High energy, it gives a lot of dopamine. I mean, you're like on a high because you're doing what you know your unique ability is. It's like, what is it in EOS, the EOS model? You like it, you get it, you want it, you're good at it.
Yes.
And I know
GWC, get it, want it, and I think the capability to do it.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to exhaust you just by saying this, but not too long ago, I was working on creating some systems and processes because we're bringing on new team members. And so I needed to go through and really document step by step a lot of our different internal systems. And I'm telling you, I could do it all day. Like, just leave me alone at my desk, turn my music on, and the day is gone. And I love it. And I feel accomplished. I get energy out of it. I made a lot of growth, you know, it was things that were created that can last, you know, for the long term. For me, that's a perfect example of me getting in my flow state on a race day.
Yes.
Now for you, not so much.
No, that's more of like, I'd call pace day activities.
Right.
Because my flow is going to come from content, curriculum, coaching, making connections, quick starting, essentially, if we're going to fall into the Colby vernaculum. I pulled this up. This is from Medical News Today. The term flow state, quote, describes a mental state in which a person is completely focused on a single task or activity. They are directing all of their attention towards the task, and they do not experience many thoughts about themselves or their performance. Some people refer this to informally being in the zone.
Yes.
And the reason it's so important, particularly when we're thinking about leadership here, come back to this definition. They're focused on a single task. They're directing all of their attention towards the task. How easy is it to now get pulled off focus with dings and bings and buzzes and inboxes, all of these other elements that would not allow us to enter into this hyper-performance state where we achieve exponential growth? But you touched on something too, the dopamine. A feel-good chemical, and you feel good about what you're doing and the progress that you're making. Now, on the flip side of the spectrum, you've got these race days. It's also important to think about, okay, well, after you have run a race, whether it's a sprint or a 5K or a half marathon, marathon, Ironman, you have to rest and you have to create time to just recover. What's a race day here?
A rest day.
A rest day. What is a rest day here?
I mean, it's exactly what it is. You're resting. You're not doing anything as far as your day-to-day, your tasks. You're giving yourself room to just think, giving yourself room for thought. And that's something that came out of a book I just read, Don't Believe Everything You Think, and how it's so important to give yourself room for thought. You know, without the rest days, you cannot operate at 100% during your race and pace days. And you might think that you're being an all-star and a hero because you're working through, you're not resting, but it's gonna end up costing you. And I have quite a bit of personal experience there. When you don't honor those rest days, I mean, discipline. You really have to be disciplined. It's easy to discipline yourself to like do things and to make progress and to go out and to, you know, exercise or whatever. It is also really hard to discipline yourself to just stop, to just rest, give yourself permission to just shut everything down. That is where you're going to end up saving your mental energy, but you're also giving yourself room for thought because you're shutting down. And I think you can probably elaborate on that a little bit more, but it's these moments when you're not doing where you have these natural, you know, wonderful thoughts.
Oh my gosh. I think about whenever I had a couple of race days in Costa Rica back It was the fall of 2018, and it was almost like I got a download to write Banking on Digital Growth. Like it became 100% clear of the framework, the structure. Now there was a lot of gaps that had to be filled in, but there's a tremendous amount of creative energy that came from resting. Same thing is true for Banking on Change. Another extended rest day period, was going on a run in Galveston. We were doing a little staycation with the family, and it just boom hit me once again, like, wow, completely inspired by this new type of thinking that would have not been possible had I not created the space and time to just to rest, to recover. And there's some research that comes out of sports and performance psychology that, and I'm going to quote Dr. Mustafa Sakar here, quote, as humans, we often wait until we are at 5% energy to recharge, but we would never wait until our phone is at 5% battery power to recharge it.
Yeah. Or your gas tank in your car.
Well,
actually, I'm guilty of that.
But say, I know you, and I know how you like to push it, and I know myself, and I'm like, when that light goes off and it says fuel empty, I know I have at least another 15 or 20 miles to eke out of that. But
it's bit me in the butt though.
That's right.
I learned my lesson.
That's right. And just like, you know, I know that I've been encouraging you at certain times when I observe just certain patterns or behaviors that I'm like, just, you got to take a rest day here. You got to rest.
Yeah. And I think that's where leadership and accountability comes in. And I think I'll be guilty. I mean, I am guilty of, for a long time, I thought that I was just working harder. And I thought it was a reflection of just my drive and my desire to just go and get, you know, get shit done and move. But I have started to see more and more, and you've mirrored this for me too, is acknowledging the need for rest and being confident enough to say, I need a rest day, or I'm taking a rest day. Gosh, just last month, great example of this. I was heading to Colorado for the weekend with my family. And the week leading up to it was so busy. I hadn't taken time off like this in a while. Had a lot of things on my plate that I needed to, and I'm sure you guys can empathize with this, but you know, when you're going on a trip, you got to prepare for the trip. You got to set yourself up for success. And gosh, the week of, I was running on E. My batteries were draining. I even told you one day, I go, I'm just pissed off. Like, I am just not in the right mindset. And then leading up to the trip, like days before, I like stopped getting excited about it. Like, that's how my mindset was just downhill. I was like, I don't even want to, it seems more exhausting to go on this trip and to shut down for a few days and to just stay here. I mean, how bizarre and backwards is that? And so as I'm leaving for the trip, I'm actually in the airport. I brought my laptop with me because there was a couple of things I wanted to knock off my plate before taking off and shutting down for a few days. And I'm typing an email. And I really and truly, not that I was like doing it behind your back, but I just didn't realize you were on the email thread that I was replying to. And you sent me a text message and you're like, dude, shut it down. Like, turn off your computer, get on your plane and go. And I was like, oh, you're right. And I think just you just calling me out on it, but also giving me permission and to give myself permission to shut it down. Cause honestly, the things I was doing, I mean, they weren't that big of a deal. They could have waited. But I will say I did, I shut down. And you asked me when I got back, you go, did you open your laptop while you were there? And I said, no, I did not. It stayed in my backpack the whole time. And when I came back, I mean, you tell me the energy change. I mean, it was just different.
I could feel it. And I think that's the thing. It's like, if we're not aware, and this whole thing of like hustle and grind culture, I used to subscribe to that. Mm-hmm. That's complete, utter bullshit. And yeah, it almost cost me a marriage. I wasted the first 2 years of my youngest kid. Well, my oldest, he was two. Whenever I had this dark night of the soul moment, my first daughter was just born. And we were reflecting on this as a family over the weekend and just talking about like time and relationship and relating. And there's the science is now showing that, and this was a study from Desk Time, looking at like the idea of the 8-hour day, that productivity versus work hour. So 6 hours of work, you're at around 90% productivity. 7 hours, you're at like 95% productivity. 8 hours, you're at around like 96, 97% productivity. But then what happens? You go from 8 to 9, productivity drops by 11%. Mm. And then it keeps decreasing as much as 19% for every hour we keep spending at our computers.
Wow.
So I've had to become way more mindful of this, that once I'm topping 8, 8.5, 9 hours, what the hell am I doing? Because I should just step away. And I know that I'm not being as productive. And a lot of times I'll do that now. And it's this matter of like guilt.
I know.
And I think something else has driven my behavior with this. I'm very competitive and I've always been a bit of an underdog. And this goes back to me playing basketball growing up, where my 8th grade basketball coach said, Coach Boudreaux was his name. He said, J.R. Lay, you're never going to play varsity ball, son. You should just quit now. I'm like, dude, you're a freaking jerk. I'm going to prove to you that not only am I going to play, but I'm going to be captain. I put that in my mind in eighth grade. And first one in the gym, last one out of the gym, was never the fastest, could jump the highest. Let me tell you, I would outwork and outgrind you and just wear you down mentally. I mean, like, defense was my thing. Because I know the mind game here. And I think that's the thing. When you are a high functioning, highly driven leader, we have to start to question, why are we the way that we are? What's the driving force behind us? And it's not a right or wrong. It's just creating that sense of awareness, knowing that productivity is going to fall off of a cliff. And that's where we're going to be busy. But are we really being productive?
And I think another point, and I believe you put this in your in Banking on Change, the quote from Adam Grant about sick.
Yes.
Working when you're sick. So he said, and I have this quote right here. Working when you're sick is not a symbol of commitment. It's a symptom of a sick culture. In toxic workplaces, rest is a sign of weakness. You're expected to sacrifice yourself for your job. In healthy cultures, rest is a source of strength. Wellness is vital to doing your job.
Yep.
I love that.
And we also have to be very mindful of generational shifts here. And how that's going to impact work, because I think about, like, different generations. They might call other generations lazy, or they're not motivated. And I think there's some observations too. For example, the child to parent relationship. Like, I saw my dad on his computer all the freaking time at home. Well, guess what behavior I model, you know, and my wife is really trying to help me reframe this. Like, don't like, you have to be mindful of what you observed and what you're modeling here. And yeah, my kids see me on the computer now, but it's one of those that I'm way more intentional. Like, if they need me for something, I close it because if that screen is open, then I'm not really fully paying attention. And so shut the laptop. And that's the thing. When you talk about shutting things down on these rest days, to have a good rest day, and I know it's going to give some people anxiety, but
I think I know what you're going to say.
All be disciplined to do difficult things. Because that's where the biggest growth happens. And I've been here and I know what it feels like. And I learned this from my time in strategic coach. A rest day means no work from midnight to midnight. That means no email, no business books even, and no business podcast. Why? Because if you listen to the business podcast or you read the business book, then you're going to turn on that part of your brain and then your brain is going to start processing. You got to shut the laptop, you got to turn it off and step away. And it's going to be
hard.
It's going to give that anxiety. I even think about whenever Delina and I, we got married and we went on our honeymoon. We went to St. Lucia. Stayed in a little boutique hotel called Ladera. It was up on a 1500 foot ridge between the Piton Mountains. There was no fourth wall. This hotel is exposed to the elements. Call it glamping.
Yeah.
No TV, no phone in the room. And the only way you could get internet access back, and this was 2006, was on a little computer down in the lobby. Guess who was down in the lobby on their honeymoon checking email? This guy was. And I thought it's what I had to do to stay competitive at the time. And in hindsight, could there have been a better way? Knowing what I know now and having reframed my relationship with technology to where I have a dumb smartphone.
Yeah.
I don't have email on my phone. I don't have social media on my phone. I don't have an internet browser on my phone. And when I tell people that and they're like, "And you do what you do?" I'm like, yeah. That means it's completely possible. Yeah. So that's a good race day. No work, or that's a good rest day. No work, midnight to midnight, which then brings us to, well, what do you have to do to have a really good race day? And what do you have to do to have a really good rest day? Enter the pace day. What are pace days here?
Yeah. So pace days, I like to call these like the ticky tacky days. This is where you're setting yourself up for the ankle biter stuff. Yes. You know, you're scheduling, you're checking your emails, you have meetings, you're making your bed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You can think of it. And when we're talking about exercise and fitness and marathons, this is like your stretching. This is like your warm up. You have to do this, you know, you have to stretch and warm up. We're going to have an injury during your race. So this is all those things that may not feel like a lot, or as far as you're not getting making a lot of value, or you're not making a lot of progress, but you still have to tie up these loose ends. And it's been helpful for me to really like focus this time in like a time block. Just to get all my crap done.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And know and give myself permission. Hey, look, today or for this chunk of time, you are just taking care of business. You are just getting things in order, setting yourself up for success. Don't give yourself a hard time if you don't make major progress in one of your goals or one of your areas. You're just doing the housekeeping. That's another good phrase. So your housekeeping items. So having these in between those race days will help you be that much more focused and not distracted. So like for me, I like to do my pace days ahead of the race day so that I can go into my race day feeling really good about blocking everything off. Like if I don't answer an email, I feel good because I know that I took care of all that yesterday, and whatever emails come in during my race day, I can attend to either later on that evening or the following morning.
Well, if you think about pacing, and in relationship to running or training, these are kind of the boring runs. Yeah. But this is what builds it's what builds your endurance.
Sure.
And your race days and your rest days are only going to be as good as your pace days. And one of the things that I observe in the work that we do with financial brands and their teams, anecdotally speaking, I'd say around 90-95% of them spend their time stuck in pace days.
I agree.
And they never get to a good race day where they get real deep work done. They never have a meaningful rest and recover day. A lot of what we're talking about here is behavior, but even more deeply than that, it's beliefs. And to do this as an individual within an organization, or to do this as an individual on a team alone, is going to feel hard, if not impossible.
Yeah.
But when you are thinking through these four different types of days, and we're going to get to the last one here in just a moment, or better way to think of it, blocks of time on your calendar, you can hold each other accountable just as have been talking through here with each other. Yeah. And that brings us to the last day. So we've got race days, we've got rest days, we've got pace days, What's the last one here?
Detox day or digital detox day.
Digital detox and I have days.
I have to admit, I cannot speak too much on this one because I have had a digital detox day. I will say it was unintentional, though. Back in August, I took just a quick, like, 24-hour trip to New Orleans to accompany my friend on a work trip. And I don't even know if I told you this, James Robert, but as we were leaving, I had my phone plugged in to charge, get a good charge, got in the Uber at the airport and realized, oh, I left my phone at home. Oh. So I did not have my phone for the 24 hours I was in New Orleans. And other than, you know, I did need to call in and let my family know that they won't be able to reach me, and you have children, so of course you need to be available. But other than that, I mean, it was nice. It was nice. Now I will say I was out doing things and socializing, so it wasn't like I needed my phone, you know, as that source of socialization. But that's the most I've done for a digital detox day.
Well, this is something that has been an ongoing experiment and expansion of just my own personal growth here, which is one of the reasons I really encourage and challenge people to do this. What is the relationship? Like you and I, we have a relationship. We are relating here. We have a relationship, even those who are watching and listening to this asynchronously. We have a relationship with other people in our lives. We also have a relationship with the thing that we carry around in our pocket. And is that relationship, is it making us a better person? Is it stealing from the relationships that we have with others? Is it stealing from the relationship that we have with ourselves?
Yeah.
There is some research here that found that the average American spends 4 hours and 37 minutes looking at their phone every day. I think context is important here. That adds up to one full day of being on your phone every week. Because if you think about it, 4.5 hours. Times six, it's about 24 hours. It's a full day in a week. That's 6 days on your phone every month. That's 70 days on your phone every year.
Gosh.
That's a shit ton of time.
It is. Yeah. And I guess the deeper question is, you know, of course, what are you doing on your phone? Is it mindless scrolling? Social media, going down some Reddit rabbit holes.
One of the things I'm writing about in Banking on Change is this idea of digital stoicism.
Yeah.
And it's not saying that these devices are bad.
No.
I used to think that these devices, well, I'd make the argument, well, it's just a tool. It's not a tool. And I'll tell you why it's not a tool, because a tool is a hammer, a saw, an axe, a shovel. I use that tool for a specific purpose. I need a hammer and nail. I go to the garage, I get the hammer, I hammer the nail, I put the hammer back until the next time I need it. That hammer does not bing me, ding me, buzz me while it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't beckon and call me like one of the sirens. Was it Oedipus or not Oedipus, Odysseus. What was that old story?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not Odyssey. Yeah. The Odyssey. That's right. It's not calling me back to pick it up. That's what our phones do. And how much is that stealing from us? Time, energy, attention, relationship.
Yeah. You know, I have tried more and more to be very mindful, especially in the evenings or the weekends when I have my kids and not being on my phone. And I've started to like make it a point if they see me just on my phone to say, oh, I'm reading. I'm actually reading a book right now, or I'm typing notes. Like I'm actually doing something productive because I don't want them to think that I'm just being sucked into this phone for entertainment, you know, social media scrolling or whatever. Like there are productive things that I'm doing that are on my phone versus my computer or anything else. But I have really tried, and I know I can do a much better job and having a digital detox. But yeah, I just think a lot of it about like my kids and what they're seeing and what learned behaviors they're subconsciously having.
Well, you recently shared a podcast with me that I want to say it was 17-year-olds. The average amount of time a 17-year-old spends on a screen is, I want to say, was it nine hours a day? So that 4 hours and 26 minutes is the average American, but then you go down into like different sub-demographics. This is a deeper point of like, how is this rewiring our brain? And there are just, I would say, three practical questions to ask yourself. And listen, if you are struggling with what we'll just go ahead and call digital addiction, because I have struggled with that. It is real. And there are like different levels of that. Mm-hmm. If you're struggling with that, seriously, ping me. Let me know. You are not dealing with this alone. And I've had to put borders and boundaries and create a lot of accountability in my life. And listen, I am not perfect. There are still areas that I can be even better, but there are three questions that I think bring a level of awareness and mindfulness to this. And two, a lot of this is rooted in the work of Dr. Gabor Mate on the subject of addiction. Dr. Gabor Mate, he poses the question, ask why the pain, not why the addiction. And it's from that type of thinking, I want to ask these three questions here. What are you looking for when you pick up your digital device? Are you looking for attention because you're feeling lonely? Are you looking for validation because you're feeling low? Or are you looking for distraction because you're just bored? And I think if you can just bring some mindfulness of every time you reach down to pick that thing up, why? And don't judge yourself. Don't criticize yourself, just to create why. What am I looking for? And I'll be the very first one to admit, if I look back on my past, I'd pick up the phone for all three of those. I was lonely.
Sure.
I was low. I was bored. And I'd say deeper, I wasn't comfortable with myself. So
I'm being still. That's one of the things I'm working on right now. I've got two kids, single mom. And so I'm either on, like I'm 2-1, I'm outnumbered, but then I've got days where they're gone and it's just me in my house. And I've really had to struggle. Like I have struggled and I've had to really like learn how to just practice being still and being quiet and not going straight to my phone or something else for a distraction because I was bored. Cause I didn't know, I was uncomfortable not doing anything. And I think creating that time of just quiet, and just in the last couple of months, and you know this, James Robert, practicing just being quiet and just being still. And I've had some really beautiful thoughts and thinking, and I've made a lot of progress, you know, just on my own mental health by having that time and not by resorting to distractions or attention.
Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday.
Yes. It's in my queue.
As we start to wrap up here, what's your recommendation? You know, when we think about these four different types of days or blocks of time on a calendar, because for example, you might not have a digital detox day, but could you have a digital detox 4-hour period of time, 8-hour period of time? What would that look like? How would that feel? So if we think about race days, rest days, pace days, detox days, what do you recommend someone who is watching or listening to this conversation do next on their own journey of growth?
I would say, look at your calendar and start blocking some time and honestly do it with your team. I know it's so much easier for James Robert and I to do this together. We plan our race days on the same day. So it's like, we know, Wednesdays, for example, we're not having any meetings. We're by ourselves. We're getting deep work done. We respect that. We honor that. We encourage that. And then give yourself permission to block off those pace days and know, okay, you know what, today I'm just getting some shit done. Yeah. And that's okay. And then honor your rest days on the weekends. And like you said, for the digital detox, you don't have to go an entire day without your phone for many reasons. But yeah, give it a try for a couple hours. See how you feel.
And those are fantastic ideas. Maybe even before, just do an assessment. Where are you at today? Yeah. Where are you investing your time? Where are you spending your energy? What are you paying attention to right now? I heard some really timeless wisdom from a couple that Delina and I, we went through marriage prep, and they're probably well into their 80s at this point. But one of the things that stuck with me, show me your calendar and show me your wallet, and I'll show you what's important to your life. And I have to continuously come back to that and reset and level set, because things do get wonky from time to time when I am not aware. And that's typically when I am tired, I am drained, yes, I am exhausted. And at that moment, I need rest days and detox days more than anything else to be an even better husband, father, entrepreneur, teammate. Because otherwise, I'm just operating at 50%. 25%. Yeah. Don't even get me when I'm 5%, because it's not a good me. And yeah, if I think back to that experience of that dark night of the soul back in 2012, a lot of it was, I was just constantly living life at 5%, and it was draining and tiring and exhausting. Yeah. And I didn't know I just could not get beyond that. And fortunately, we found a way out of that. We got better. We healed. We're in a much better place today, over a decade later. But you don't forget those experiences. And then you think, well, how do I take some of that past experience and help someone else who might be dealing with and struggling with something very similar? Because we just know how strong things like devices are that pull us in, when in reality, we should be creating borders and boundaries to respect, to your point, the relationship that we have with others. Yes. But I'd say even more importantly, the relationship that we have with ourselves. So
yes, it's beautifully said.
Audrey, this has been a fantastic conversation.
It has.
As always. And for everyone watching, listening, thanks for tuning in. We wish you well. As always, be well, do good, be the light. See you soon.